This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. We do have another political story now, but it's about us, not about the politicians. We always want government to pay for better services, to provide better services. Then at the same time, we want lower taxes. What the heck is wrong with us? And what is a politician supposed to do? Reporter Dave Adox explores the contradiction of modern politics.
Missy Vaccaro is a managed care coordinator at the Princeton Medical Center in New Jersey. She says she likes the idea of lower taxes, but hasn't paid much attention to the debate over tax cuts.
Well, I really don't know what they're cutting taxes on. I mean, I don't really pay all that much attention because I'm tired of the BS, you know, they're promising this and promising that, and then when it comes time to it, nothing's done.
Political scientist Jacob Hacker of Yale University and his colleague Paul Pearson of Harvard University argue that people like Vaccaro were tricked into supporting the Bush tax cuts. Here's Jacob Hacker.
It was very important for advocates of tax cuts to make sure that the potential trade-offs of tax cuts were not recognized by average voters.
But tax cut advocates point out that the cuts helped catapult the U.S. economy out of a recession and into one of the strongest economic quarters ever. Kevin Hassett is director of economic policy at the American Enterprise Institute. He argues that reducing taxes for wealthy Americans benefits everyone.
The basic idea is that if we let the person at the top keep a little bit more of his or her money, and the result of that is that a person at the bottom keeps his or her job, but the person in the middle has to pay a little bit more in tax, then I would say that's a trade we should be willing to make.
Hassett maintains the public wasn't tricked into supporting tax cuts. Americans supported them because they understand two things: that the government wastes lots of money, and that giving it less is almost always a good idea.
I think the public likely recognizes that they respect their money more than anybody else is going to, that they understand how hard they work for it and can make good use of it, often charitably, and that there's no reason necessarily to trust the government to make the world a better place with every penny that they have.
Hassett argues cutting taxes keeps the government small.
One of the reasons why the U.S. economy has been the envy of the world is that our federal government has been about half the size of the federal government of the rest of the world.
But Professor Hacker of Yale University says his research shows there is strong public support for many big government programs like Social Security, defense, and Medicare. And he says when you educate voters a little bit about the trade-offs involved in reducing taxes, all of a sudden, the support for the cuts disappears.
When you push Americans to consider the trade-offs that tax cuts might entail, trade-offs in terms of other governing priorities, overwhelmingly Americans supported other ends besides tax cuts. Taxes pay for education and Social Security and Medicare and protection of our waterways and our skies. Taxes pay for military defense, for fighting terrorism. They pay for benefits that America's most vulnerable citizens depend upon.
Economists on both sides of the issue do agree on one thing. With 76 million baby boomers about to retire, the federal government will not have nearly enough money to pay for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. That's something healthcare worker Missy Vaccaro understands.
By the time I reach my parents' age, and they're in their 70s, I'm not going to have Medicare. You know, do I have enough money to save for my future? No, I don't, because I pretty much live paycheck to paycheck.
Experts say people are left with some tough choices. Either they give up their desire for low taxes, or they give up some of the government services they really like. For Day to Day, I'm Dave Adox.